It's 8:04 and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and today, Affordable Care Act 101. We are with the president and CEO of Oregon's Health Co-op, Dr. Ralph Prowse. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
And listen, people, look, no, the website doesn't work. There's a big political issue there. There's a big multifaceted issue there. This morning, we're going to walk back past that, though, and dig into the health exchanges, this new system. How does it work? How do you navigate it? And, you know, I'm just saying, as a side, Dr. Prowse is here to talk about that. He's not here to talk about the politics of it. And it's a really unique opportunity to ask him directly questions about the exchanges, how they work, like what's in it for you. I'm going to whisper in your ear and say, if you think that that the government rolls out systems out of the box and that that's all you get, I think you need to consider the fact that you might be able to take this system and use political tools to make it into what you want it to be. Now, that's not Dr. Prowse. Look out. I'm looking at Dr. Prowse. He's open-minded, but that's not why he's here. But that's what I want you listeners to be thinking about. How do you take this health system that we have, understand it, understand the parts of it, understand how it works, and then use your tools to turn it into the system you want? So all that wind up, Dr. Prowse, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, the Affordable Care Act, it's like, it's a law, but it's also a policy. And it was like a 1,000-page law or something like that was passed by Congress. And I don't know if anyone read the whole thing. It's so long. So, but you're here to talk about what that act says. What it says, how the exchanges work, how the system works. So, and that's actually, it's a gigantic pizza, this new healthcare situation. So, okay, first talk, Dr. Prowse, about what do you do? What are the exchange, the co-ops exchanges? See, I'm already getting confused. Talk about the work that you do and the institution that you run.
Well, the institution that I run is Oregon's Health Co-op, and it's one of 23 consumer-operated and oriented plans across the country that were birthed out of the Affordable Care Act. And so when you think of the term co-op in this sense, think of this acronym for Consumer Operated and Oriented Plans. And so there are 23 of these across the country. That wasn't really the original intention in the Affordable Care Act. Back in 2009, when there was all this deliberation going on nationally about healthcare, there was a very, very strong political will among people to come up with a single payer, a public option. That politically didn't have legs. Kent Conrad, who was a senator from North Dakota at the time, and Max Baucus, who served and actually led the Senate Finance Committee, talked at length about what could be done to come up with some kind of compromise here. And what was constructed out of that was the idea that we needed to preserve some mechanism in this country to provide that direct expression of people's voices in healthcare. So this notion of creating these nonprofit, consumer-operated and oriented or co-op plans was contrived and built into the Affordable Care Act. And what that means is across the country, they wanted to have at least one of these co-ops in every state. And these
co-ops, we mean the federal government?
The federal government,
okay.
Yes. That was the intention under the Affordable Care Act. And so under the Affordable Care Act, they would provide low-interest loans for starting up these co-ops, which would be independent, nonprofit health plans, health insurance companies, that would offer insurances on the exchanges in these states for people to choose from.
And the exchange is kind of like the marketplace that was set up for people to buy their own insurance.
Exactly. The exchanges were intended to allow people to shop online, like you might do with Priceline, or like you might do on Amazon.com or whatever, where you could.
Not that we're promoting Amazon
here.
Well,
Go ahead. So the idea was you could go on the internet and you could compare and contrast by price, by quality, by whatever other features people might want to look at to make decisions about healthcare, and make your selection intelligently in an informed way on the internet. So this was not uniformly popular, obviously, the idea of even doing the Affordable Care Act, and it's still very contentious. But In the process, there was concern that there would be states where none of the insurance companies would even play on the exchange. Some states only have maybe one or two insurance companies. And what if they said, well, we just don't even want to play with this? Under the Affordable Care Act, by creating co-ops in these states, at least the people would have that option. Furthermore, the idea was, let's promote price competition among insurance companies, something we've never had before. And so this mechanism of having competition in these states that could be shopped online openly by people was important. And having co-ops there to ensure that competition was part of the game too. But the real nut of the whole co-op concept is this. Co-ops, consumer-operated and oriented plans, will elect their boards from among the members that buy the insurance. And at least a majority of my board will be elected this year from the people that buy the insurance. So people will always
say— I never heard that before. That is
the real key here. So we've never had that sort of public voice running insurance in this country before. Insurance is typically run by executives who are lawyers or actuaries or business people, and they may or may not be in touch with people, with what people want. And I know
they're in business to make a profit. I mean, I think, well, that's not necessarily your lookout, but I think that that's a concern a lot of people have about healthcare in the United States, is the profit motive. I mean, we pay more for healthcare as a society, and we get worse outcomes than any other Western nation. As far as I know.
Oh, and with co-ops, again, to ensure that that was not the case and that these would be more an expression of what people want in healthcare and would make sure that the money wasn't spent in ways like you see today. I mean, you would never see a co-op spending $40 million to rebrand a sports arena, okay? You just wouldn't see that.
Moda Center. That's what we call it there in Portland now.
And so you would never see that because the law says that a co-op can only spend its money to either repay its loans to the government or to improve the health benefits they're providing to people or the health programs to the people that they serve. It's very, very explicit about that. The money could never be used for that sort of purpose.
Listeners, we're live in studio too with Dr. Ralph Prowse, the president and CEO of Oregon's Health Co-op. And I mean, there's so much about the Affordable Care Act that we sort of don't know, even though it's right in front of us all the time. And what you're saying is wild. You're saying that you're running a healthcare organization where you're actually going to elect people that are consumers of the healthcare to your board.
Oh, this has been incredibly exciting because I started in June of 2012 and realized that the whole mission here was to figure out what do people really want. And we didn't have any members yet, so we had to figure out what people wanted by actually going out and holding listening sessions across the state. And asking people, well, what's right, what's wrong, what's working, what's not. And from that feedback, we constructed a very unique set of health care benefits that are offered on and off the Oregon Exchange. But there are very unique features to these benefit plans. They have benefits that have never been offered before and are offered specifically now under our plans solely because we heard them in every single audience that we listened to. We listened to like 2,000 Oregonians all over the state and gathered that feedback and distilled it down into, a number of things that are just completely entirely new. And that's what listening to people can actually bring forward. It can bring forward these unique features that are very Oregonian, very local, very sensitive, and very important to the health and welfare of people as they see it, not as a traditional insurance company, run by these typical healthcare executives have thought it should be run to generate whatever profitability they're looking for.
All right. And so, okay, now that's a big chunk of information. I bet a lot of people listening right now never heard that because I know that it's been covered, and I know that the Oregonians covered it and different people have covered it. The paper that I work at covered that like in 2012, I think, when you first started, maybe even. But when we hear about the Affordable Care Act or what a lot of people call Obamacare, there's people on the left and on the right that don't agree with things that President Barack Obama has done. We have this framed so tightly that we don't even really know what it all does. And it does have a lot of moving parts. So now I want to say, okay, Dr. Prowse, now I'm in this position. I'm an Oregonian. I have to get health insurance or else I'm going to be oppressed by the IRS. That's just me because I'm going to be crabby about it, right? A lot of people are crabby about it. Even people that have, you know, there are people, health bills are one of the biggest sources of bankruptcy in this country. And it's like even trying to dig that out and change that situation, people don't want to let go of that. But I want to ask you, so Dr. Prowse, I have to get health insurance. I'm looking at all these different options. Because I live in Oregon, I may not have been able to sign up for it right. Okay. So I'm looking at what I should do. Can you explain, like, what are the, remember, Let's Make a Deal? Was it Let's Make a Deal? And they had all those different, like, you know, and behind curtain number one, what are the, I mean, can you help us? What are the different choices that a consumer would have? And I don't expect you necessarily to know that, but I am asking you that. If somebody right now still doesn't have health insurance, or maybe they have insurance they don't like, what are their choices? The co-op is one. They also have private insurance. What are the different doors?
Let me try to explain. So in Oregon, there have been traditionally lots of different healthcare options. I mean, we've had the Oregon Health Plan, and to be eligible for the Oregon Health Plan, you had to have certain income limits and other considerations, family, children, lots of things.
Even legislative funding has affected that, I think.
Yes, and then because there was more demand than there was supply on this, there was a lottery, and a lot of people who really needed health care couldn't get it. And a lot of people in Oregon just flat couldn't get health care because of pre-existing conditions or because they didn't feel they needed it and didn't want it. And so we've had a lot of overuse of emergency rooms because we all are subject to illness. And if you're not insured, the only access you really have is emergency rooms. So there have been a lot of health care issues. But in Oregon, you had the Oregon Health Plan. You had the OMIP program, which was the Oregon Medical Insurance Pool for people who had situations like pre-existing conditions and had been rejected by insurance companies.
Including, I think, people with an HIV diagnosis and
HIV
stuff like that.
Is one of those specific populations, in fact, that has been covered under OMIP. Now, remember, OMIP, by the way, sunsetted.
January 1st.
Yeah. So what the exchange and the Affordable Care Act has done, and in Oregon what's been done, is to try to create an exchange in Oregon. This is Cover Oregon now. Try to create this exchange that worked kind of like the Harry Potter sorting hat. I mean, people could go to the exchange, and based on a series of questions they would be asked about income and other considerations, be sorted into either eligibility for the state Medicaid program. So if your income was under 138% of the federal poverty line, you were eligible for Medicaid, and Cover Oregon would sort you into the Medicaid program. If you are over 138% of the federal poverty level, but below 400% of the federal poverty level, get these numbers now, 138 is at the bottom, 400 is at the top. If you're in that bucket, based on your annual income, you are eligible to purchase commercial insurance regardless of any pre-existing conditions. That's gone away under the Affordable Care Act. You cannot be excluded now because you have diabetes or you have HIV or anything.
Congenital heart defect.
Any of that. You know, you're eligible. You can get insurance, which is not subject to any lifetime limits or, you know, a lot of things. I'll get to that in a moment. But if you're between 138 and 400, you are now eligible for various kinds of tax, of premium subsidies and cost offsets to other out-of-pocket costs like coinsurance and deductibles and that.
Pals, it's like financial aid, except that it's in the form of a tax, a thing, but you don't have to wait to get your tax returns back to get that money back. So it's actually more convenient even than a usual tax break would be.
Right. If you're down toward that 138 level, you will pay a very, very low amount of money for a monthly premium, depending on the plan you select, of course. And you will pay very small out-of-pocket costs around co-payments and co-insurance and that sort of thing. And it's scaled up to 400% where you would pay proportionately more. Above 400%, you shop for commercial health insurance just like anybody else would shop for it. And that means you, theoretically at this point, you would go on to the Cover Oregon website. I say theoretically because we all know that that's a meltdown.
I know. I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, we could talk. We do know what to say about it, but we're focusing on an aspect that's not often focused on right now, and that's what we're talking about.
Right, right. But theoretically, you would go to Cover Oregon to the website, and Cover Oregon would determine which of these buckets you'd go into. Are you eligible for Medicaid? Should you go into a Medicaid plan? Should you be then? Or if you're making over 138, then you're eligible for all of these additional cost share benefits. But you go into commercial insurance, and you can go onto the website and you can select from among the 13 or 14 different health plans. It's actually way more than that, and I don't know if anybody on the air has actually had the opportunity to go and look, but there are actually something like 148 different options for people to choose from, and your eyes can blur over. And I'll tell you, this is the first time out of the gate that this has been done, and the ability to sort according to your own personal wishes and desires on this website, they are limited. It's kind of difficult to navigate. And moreover, there's a whole lot behind the scenes right now among these 148 options that you really can't necessarily know about unless you pay very, very special attention, put a lot of time into the choice.
These are deep conceptual waters. We are live in Studio 2 with President and CEO of Oregon's Health Co-op, Dr. Ralph Prowse. We are literally just fleshing out Affordable Care Act 101 and digging into the actual functional aspects of it that you may not have heard a lot of talk about because we're stuck on the political issue of what happened to the website. So we're hoping that this is a great opportunity for people to call and ask more questions about this aspect of the law. And of course, the number to call is 503-231-8187, and we have a caller. We have Leslie on the phone. Leslie, what's on your mind this morning?
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Dr. Prowse. What is the full name of the co-op?
Oregon's Health Co-op.
Yeah, and the way that, okay, check this out. I like this. It's called, wait a minute, what does co-op stand for again?
Consumer Operated and Oriented Plan.
Okay, yes.
Because I did go onto a website. I think it might have been called the Oregon Co-op about a week ago. I'm a college student. I live off my financial aid and earned income. My earned income last year was in four digits. So as you can imagine, my total income is pretty low. I put my income into, first of all, on this website, it says state your income. Not per week, not per month, not per year. It just says state your income. So I state my income, and then it quotes back to me policies starting at $350 a month. That's not going to happen for me. So first of all, I'd like to know, how come this website does not give you a unit when you enter in your income, telling you this is per month? Or I don't know if they thought that I earned that amount per month or if they assumed I earned it per year or per what. But obviously, someone who earns in the four digits over the period of a year cannot afford to pay $350 for health care.
Well, Leslie, what is the name of the website you were at? We kind of
it, I that. Know it was a co-op, and I chose this website because I knew it offered care through naturopaths. So unfortunately, I do not remember the exact name, but I do remember it allowed you to choose naturopathic doctors as your...
Which is a big issue. Okay, Leslie, thanks. So I love Leslie's experience because now we're sort of digging into the nuts and bolts of when we, you know, what do we need to do to make the system work? So we're not sure what website Leslie was at, and yet I know a lot of people are on websites. In Washington State, you've got Washington Health Plan Finder, and they're plugging in information, and it's not clear what's coming back at them. And I know also that there are people in Oregon that really do feel strongly that they would like naturopathic options. And I think that's a great question in itself. So Dr. Prowse, we don't know what website she was on, but can you just talk about that? One of the issues about signing people up for healthcare via the internet is that itself creates issues. Do you care to respond, Dr. Prowse?
Well, sure. I think it's a great question.
Thanks,
and
Leslie.
I don't know whether this is our website or not, but if it was, it ought to have explained that this was looking for annual. income, because it's based on annual income that you determine the eligibility for these kinds of tax credits and other benefits. So if the premium is $300 or $400 or whatever it is per month, at your income level, you're almost certainly eligible for some of that subsidy. So it wouldn't actually be whatever you're seeing on there. And the amount of subsidy you could receive right now is only actually information that can be provided directly by Cover Oregon.
Right. So I have another follow-up question, but I'll just ask that right now. So what do you think, you're only in charge of one part of this, right? But what do you think people should do when the equipment doesn't work or when the system's not working? Because I hear that from people a lot, and that has been an issue, of course, with the Cover Oregon website. But someone like Leslie, and they're just trying to type it in and they don't get it.
Right.
Should we have like a consumer empowerment aspect of it? And what you're talking about with the co-op is that's actually run by the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
It will be.
Well, I think the question really is, what do you do if you need help with all this? And again, I said there's 148 different plan options there, and shopping those options is almost impossible for anybody unless they've been studying this in detail. And those that have been educated around this include some of the community partners or navigators that have been trained by Cover Oregon with grants from Cover Oregon, and they're available at different places around Portland and elsewhere.
All over the
state.
And mm-hmm. Some really wonderful, compelling organizations are doing that too.
Right. I know the clinic where I volunteer over at North by Northeast Community Health Center has navigators there, and you could certainly get help from them if you need that. Or you can go to your own independent insurance agents or brokers, or you can call the health plan directly. If there was a question like this that I was having based on something that wasn't clear on our website, I would call Oregon's Health Co-op, and we have people there that can help deal with that.
You know what? And I have to say this too, Leslie, if you're trying to call Cover Oregon, that's a hard thing to do. Because my coworker is a journalist and she was trying to get a comment from them on Monday. She was on hold for 40 minutes by the clock. Okay. The co-op is different. It's maybe the Cover Oregon is an umbrella, but the co-op is more, it's more of a bite-sized thing. You can actually talk to people there.
Right. And so, yeah, it's very important for people to understand that there's Cover Oregon, which is an organization that's a public-private collaborative that was created by the state of Oregon. And then there's Oregon's Health Co-op, which is a completely independent structure. It has nothing directly related in any way to Cover Oregon. We are an independent, nonprofit insurance company. And our whole mission is to be sensitive to members. Our members are not just people who buy our policies. Our members are the people who run us, who tell us how we should do things. And so it's our mission to be responsive to people who are members of our company.
So Leslie and all the people that are in that same position, which I think there's a lot, there's so many things that can go wrong on the internet. It can have something to do with your browser, all kinds of things. Try to figure out a way to call, let the people know if that's at all possible. So I think that's actually like a human option. That's nice. Sometime I'd like to be able to ask questions about, naturopathic options for people. And also, you mentioned the North by Northeast Community Health Center. Some of our local health clinics might see this as a real boon. And we want to, frankly, I'm saying that I hope we as a community make sure that our wonderful community clinics and health centers really get support from this, because it's possible, and yet it's a mixed bag. And we do have another caller. We have Ty on the phone. Ty, what's on your mind today?
Hi, how are you doing? I'm pretty confused about this whole situation and kind of upset about it. There's a lot of different aspects of this that affect so many people. Most of the people that I know don't have the money to go out and spend $300 a month plus on insurance. And so we have this scenario where, I mean, literally my boss is about the only one who can afford the insurance, and he's saying, hey, I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to pay a fine and then just go to the doctor and pay him, the doctor. Because when it comes down to it, I can't keep my health plan. The health plan that they had, they say, yeah, you can keep it. And then they've changed it, and it's got to meet Obama's you know, the Medicare thing, or the insurance, that the Obama plan thing. So I'm in the position, like most people, where you find yourself saying, I think I'd rather just pay the fine, because I'm not going to get the insurance that I need. I'm not going to get the coverage I need. I'm not going to get the access to the doctors I need. I'm not going to get the prescription coverages that I need. I'm not going to get anything that I need, and they're going to charge me for it anyway.
Ty,
why not just pay the fine?
I totally relate to what you're saying, and I felt the same way. I felt the same way last year when I just, I'm not even going to get into what may or may not have happened at my own workplace. And
right.
Thank you for putting the really big bubbling pot on the table there. And we're going to kick it to Dr. Prowse, because I actually think he has some real answers to that. Okay.
Well, I would like, if you don't mind, I would like to just add that this is for me, it comes down to something simple, and it's I don't like to be forced to be a consumer. This isn't like car insurance. Car insurance is simple. You turn 16, then you can get a license, then you can get your insurance. That you're not mandated to get it. This whole thing is
You have to get car insurance, and you also have to have house insurance. Yes, these are mandated.
You do. No, you don't. You can't drive till you're 16.
Okay.
So you can't even drive till you're 16. You can't get it. And if you decide you want to ride the bus or walk, you are not mandated to be a consumer of the car companies, of their insurance companies,
okay,
of any of it.
Okay, Ty, thanks for calling, and we're going to dig back into that. But I'm just going to say, there are insurances that you're mandated to have. And if you own a home, you have to have house. You have to have house insurance. And so if you own a car, you have to have car insurance. The magical engineering pixie is saying you don't have to own a car. He's right. He gets by on bike. He also has a car. But, I mean, I'm just going to bunt this to Dr. Prowse, because I think that there's a few issues there. And, Ty, I mean, I completely relate to what you're saying. I want to also say, when I hear that, the other piece, though, of the insurance or not insurance, or whether it's mandated or not, is that so many people end up with gigantic debts because they don't have insurance, because they didn't put the money in the front of the machine, right? And then you get hit by a car in the road and you end up with $150,000 debt. And so there's more to know. But I'm just going to bunt that to Dr. Prowse. What do you think, sir? I mean,
well,
people have other options.
I think Ty has asked the really hard questions.
Yeah.
And, but I also think that Ty may have some misunderstandings about a few things. Well, we have the problem of affordability. We have the problem of compulsory purchasing and the basic theoretical underpinnings of insurance are being called into question here. And so let me back up a little bit on the affordability piece. That's a very complex subject. What's driving the cost of healthcare today? And there are as many answers to that as there are people who would give answers. But I'll tell you that part of that cost is being driven because there are a lot of uninsured people, and uninsured people do require healthcare at some point in their lives. And the longer they postpone preventive care, the higher that cost is ultimately going to be. They are going to need it at some point. We all get sick. We all have accidents. And if you wait and you're uninsured and you have one of these events, it's going to be very expensive. And who's going to pay the freight? I am. You
the
are.
The taxpayers
the
do.
Rest of
so
us
we're still
who have
stuck
insurance.
Paying with each
and,
other anyway. That's the
so,
part that's so hard
so
to wrap your
brain around. 20 or 30, yeah. some large percentage of the cost of the current premiums is a reflection of uncompensated care that has to be shouldered by everybody else.
And this even shakes down to where we have police shootings of people in a mental health crisis in our neighborhoods. This thing shakes down in so many ways. What if it were possible that everybody had to have insurance and everybody got insurance? There's always going to be people that fall below the cracks. But what if that had an impact on people that are killed by the police or people who have mental health crises in person? I mean, when you look at the cost, it really spreads out like dough on the table. I'm sorry, keep going,
well,
sir.
Well, so then there's another really important issue that Ty raised, and he was talking about wanting drugs or treatments or other things that he couldn't get.
Which is already happening now. I'm just saying.
Go ahead. So let's roll this back a little bit. How were traditional health plan benefit designs built? versus how they are being built now. And now they are being built according to some very, very specific minimum coverage requirements under the Affordable Care Act.
And now we're getting down to the law of the ACA code.
That's right. So under the Affordable Care Act, every qualified health plan must provide preventive care, and it must do that at no out-of-pocket cost. So you go and you get your, let's say you're a 50-year-old person, and you need to go get a screening colonoscopy so that you don't die of colon cancer. And in the past, that was going to cost you a bundle of money to do that. And so a lot of people didn't get it. Only probably half of the population who should have colonoscopies get them. And that was a financial issue, as well as, you know, the issues of discomfort and embarrassment and access. But those aside for the moment, now under the Affordable Care Act, you have a guaranteed access at no out-of-pocket expense to that and every other kind of preventive benefit that is promoted under the Affordable Care Act. Immunizations, if that's important to you, you know, colonoscopies, mammograms, pap smears, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well visits for your children and those kind of things. So there are these minimum standards that have to be provided by every single policy. So now we have some standards.
That, yeah, we could use a little more coverage in the newspaper about that aspect of just healthcare reform, by the way, but go ahead.
As far as drug benefits, all of the plans must provide prescription drug benefit too, and there are certain minimum requirements around that. So that was one of the important things that the Affordable Care Act did. It eliminated the ability of an insurance plan to not enroll you because of a pre-existing condition, and it must provide you with this list of essential health benefits. There are 10 different categories of those benefits, and that's a major change.
I also want to say, when it comes to the economics of it, and I'm not even going to say, like, this is the initial rollout, okay, of a new health policy and law that actually, I mean, I think it's fair to say that a significant swaths of the, I'm going to say, corporate-controlled medical establishment did not want to see this. And also, I'm going to say the conservative lawmakers in Congress did not want to see this. So when you're looking at what your options are, what's happening for you, just a whole lot of people threw as many wrenches in that works as they possibly could. And yet, I feel like maybe this is the first time in U.S. history that we actually had a law that established basic standards for what people should get through health insurance.
Well, Medicare has always had its set of basic coverage requirements.
Okay.
And Medicaid, it differs state to state to state. But there are minimum requirements there. But in the commercial insurance market, there have been very few, if any, standards or requirements around these things. Consequently, what you've had is this whole mess of different coverage options for individuals if they were eligible. And in the past, many weren't because of pre-existing conditions. But for employers, they would purchase a health plan based upon what they could afford and what they thought their employees might need and require. But because of these considerations, some health plans that have been provided didn't cover things as basic as women's health care benefits, childbirth, and you know, treatment for a whole litany of other kinds of conditions, prescription drug benefits, vision benefits. All these things have been optional. Certainly preventive benefits have been one of those categories of things that has not had universal coverage in the past.
Okay, and we do have now a full slate of callers, and as I'm thinking of Leslie, I'm thinking of the phrase hardship waiver. There is a part of the Affordable Care Act that actually it incorporates people that have an income like yours, Leslie, and I don't know, do you know anything about the hardship waiver, Dr. Prowse?
Under the Affordable Care Act, there was a category of coverage called catastrophic coverage that was only available to people who were 30 and under and had certain other hardship considerations. That access to that sort of hardship benefit is now available to others, perhaps like Leslie. And now that coverage has a high out-of-pocket deductible and maximum out-of-pocket benefit. So you would want to look at that. But it is less expensive, too.
That's the point. And this is
because you're buying less coverage.
This is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're live in Studio 2 with Dr. Ralph Prowse. He's the president and CEO of Oregon's Health Co-op, the consumer-operated and oriented plan. We are answering questions about that. We're really fretting a lot about the cost and of this law and you know, our worries about whether we're going to pay all this money and get what we want. And let's just go to the phone lines. We've got Diana on the phone. Diana, what are you looking at today?
Well, thank you very much, Lisa, for the program, and thank you, Doctor, for being on the program. I am very, very grateful through my union, SEIU 503, to finally have some kind of health insurance for myself and my daughter. However, I was so thrilled when I went onto the website back in the fall to see that there was a co-op and the possibility of getting naturopathic care. I was thrilled, but it still seems, as far as I can tell, inaccessible in terms of, you know, just navigating, but also in terms of cost. My question my daughter asked me last night is, well, if she goes on this plan with me through my union, can she change later? And I don't know if I can say this on the air, but the plan that we have through SEIU is Kaiser, which I don't know, have a clue how to navigate. But her concern is the practitioner she's been with is in another system, and she wonders if she has any option change in the future, or if that puts her in the condition of having a fine, or if that puts her in a condition where she doesn't have any other options.
All right. Thanks for your question, Diana. We'll kick it to Dr. Prowse.
Since you're accessing your health care benefits through SEIU, I'm not sure how that would work. That may be an association that has special coverage considerations and opt-in, opt-out considerations that I would not be aware of. But I do want to get back to the naturopathic issue for
thank
a moment.
You,
you know, I mentioned earlier in the program that we traveled around the state and we listened to a lot of different people and their healthcare concerns. And one of those issues that rose in every single situation was the desire of Oregonians to be able to have access to naturopathic care. And that has generally been excluded from health benefits in Oregon, still is in many cases. It's considered part of complementary and alternative medical care. But as I listen to this and as we distill down these common requests from people, this was one right on the top. So it required that we go in and start exploring what this might really mean to offer naturopathic care. And as we did that, and we met with the Association of Naturopaths and talked with the state and the college and others, what we learned in Oregon is that Oregon's kind of unique in this regard, in that if a naturopathic physician is licensed in the state, they are licensed to provide primary care. Medical care, not alternative care, some strange kind form of medical care, actual primary care in addition to the other things that they do. So we decided that we would credential them. We would bring them on our panel as full-fledged primary care doctors, meaning they're on the same basis as me. I'm an internist or a family physician or a pediatrician or, you know, these others that we typically think of as primary care doctors. So under our plan, you can select a naturopathic physician and see them for all of your care if you want to. And you receive the same level of low co-payment requirements as any other primary care doctor would. So there are no restrictions around that.
And I know that people have concerns about that with midwives and doulas as well. And I just want to put this out again, people. This is not like when your mom painted the living room that horrible green in 1973. You can change it. I mean, you need to think about what you need and think about going to the legislature and letting people know. If people don't grab this law and turn it into what they want it to do, it's a really big mistake. Instead of just sitting there and saying, it's too complicated, I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
You have to deal with it, hon.
Lisa, yes, you can go to the legislature and you can do it that way. You can join a co-op and do it that way. I mean, we all know we have a system that isn't working the way we want it to work. Do you want a direct voice in this? Do you want to do something about it? You have the opportunity now to do that that you've never had before. That's the whole idea here.
What's your website called again?
It's Oregon's Health Co-op, or OHCOOP.org.
I'm just writing that down. Okay, good. Okay, people, take ownership. Don't just say, I don't like it. Okay? I'm just saying.
I mean, part of this is about insurance, but part of it, frankly, is a social movement. And you've wanted to have a voice. You've got it.
Social movement. All right. And this is KBOO Portland. We're live in Studio 2 with Dr. Ralph Prowse. He's the president and CEO of Oregon's Healthcare Co-op. And let's go back to the phone lines. Lorena, what's going on with you today, Lorena?
Hello.
Hey.
Sorry, it just sounds really different. I would like to make a comment about my situation. For the first time ever, I'm going to be able to actually purchase an insurance that works. I do understand the frustration of a lot of people and the whole system, but this is a lot better than it was before. Last year, I was purchasing an insurance that I could really not use. This year, I'm actually being able to purchase an insurance that I can go to my naturopath, my acupuncturist. There's a lot more options there, a lot more options than ever were before.
Lorena, did you go to a navigator or somebody that helped you, like a counselor that helped you understand what your options were?
Well, I went on, I just did a research on Google. I mean, I went online and researched. I went to the co-op, I went to ODS, I went to many. And the thing that that really made me look into is that when I got my letter last year saying that I was in Regents, that it would be moving to a different plan, and my deductible was going to be like $6,000, and I'm like, this is not working. This is not working. So I start searching, and for my family, we live modest. We don't have a lot of money, but my daughters actually are going to be into the free health care through the OHP, which I don't know what to think about it, but for the first time, I will not have to pay insurance for them. My insurance is a little more money. It's not much. It's $40 more, but I have unlimited visits. I have naturopath visits. I have acupuncture visits. I have chiropractor included. I can go to the physical therapy. I have back problems, so I'm going to be able to go to the physical therapy, which my other insurance I was paying and I could never go. I had about $5,000 of health bills last year from my bike injury that I had an insurer that would just pile on deductible into it that I would never reach because it was too much. So this year, my deductible is $1,000. I can see myself actually using what there is out there.
All right.
I do understand the frustration of the people, but if you just take a little time, like the doctor said, just look around, try to find your options. There is really basic insurance out there, and there's still a lot of flaws on this system. Nothing is ever perfect. But yesterday, I called the Oregon State for health for my daughters, and I was in the phone for literally 2 hours. But that's okay. I got it all worked out. Everything is going well, and it just takes a little time. But everybody's calling. Everybody's searching. Everybody's wondering. And so just be patient. Don't be angry because there's thousands and millions of people trying to get this nailed down, trying to figure out how to make it work. But I'm optimistic. I'm very optimistic. And from here, it just can get better. I hope it doesn't get worse.
All right. All right, Lorena, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, my God.
And we have more callers. We have Barth on the phone.
Good morning. Thank you, good doctor. You're a voice of clearness and rationality in a place where that's not very common. You talked about mandatory providing of preventative care. And my question is, if you have a colonoscopy, for example, or some such, but you have a plan that has a multiple $1,000 deductible, don't you end up paying for that out of pocket, even if that is what you, you know, if you're going for minimal care so as not to rack up a lot of expenses?
Thanks for asking that, Barth, because this thing is a paradigm shift. It really is hard to wrap your brains around it. And those of us who sometimes don't trust the institutions, we're really struggling with trusting them on this.
If you get stuck with a bill for a screening colonoscopy, somebody's broken the law.
Okay.
It's that simple.
That's good to know. I live in Washington, so I don't have access to the pool and the organization that you're touting here, which seems really unfortunate.
Do they have a co-op in Washington?
The closest thing would be Group Health Cooperative.
Okay.
But they are not a consumer-operated and oriented plan. So they are basically the Washington version of Kaiser.
Okay, Barth, talking stick back to you.
Thank you. Well, I'll just have to do my inquiries here, but I'm with the earlier caller where I'm saying, you know, my wife said, I are saying, well, I guess we're just going to pay the fines because we don't have this kind of money, period. So thanks again. I'll listen off the air.
Thank you for calling, Barth. And I just want to say again, I am a journalist, and I did last year a story where all I did was call up all of the Navigator phone numbers that were listed on Cover Oregon's website. And I pretended to be a consumer trying to make an appointment to get information about how to fill out those applications for the health insurance. I was pleasantly surprised that there were dozens and dozens and dozens. And I mean, I think I called 60 numbers, okay? There were dozens of people that were thrilled, that wanted to help. Everybody from NAIA to Cascade AIDS Project. Multnomah County has a, how do you call it, a call center. And there's a lot to know. I think that that one thing that we can all agree on, and there are wonderful people out there who will help you for free, by the way. If anybody tries to charge you money to help you sign up or understand your healthcare, now they're breaking the law too. But really, I'm just encouraging you to sit down with some of these nonprofit groups, because everybody also told me that NAIA, Native American Youth Association, they said you don't have to be Native American to call them. Cascade AIDS Project, they're like, you don't have to be gay. We'll answer your questions. You know, everybody wanted to help. So I just really want to encourage people. What were you going to say, Dr.
Cross? I was going to say that that people are taking this on very personally and are looking to do the right thing and are trying to do
good.
People
from the healthcare industry.
Yes. And, you know, I think everybody who's involved here is trying to make sure people get good healthcare coverage, get access to the healthcare they need, and at the lowest possible price. And this is very complicated. These navigators have been trained, but they're new at it. They'll probably make a few errors too, but be patient with them as well, because they are doing this on a shoestring and doing the very best job they can. They're really, really trying to do this for all the right reasons.
Yeah. And, you know, and I just want to follow that up and say, because I'm Lisa Loving, I'm a very grouchy person. I'm going to say there's villains in this situation. And yet I think that it's not that hard to figure out who they are. And if you spend the time looking at these community organizations, including the North by Northeast Health Clinic. You know, we should just have them on the air to talk about the work that they do. This law can do some elegant things. And let's go back to the phone lines. Merrick? Is it Merrick on the phone?
Yeah, Merrick.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Not much. I appreciate you letting me speak on this subject. I'm a native Portlander, and I have concerns with this law. My main concern is that it is a severe burden to the taxpayer, and that it forces everybody to be a consumer of products that they don't necessarily want to be involved in. And, to me that seems unconstitutional and really unfair. Our healthcare system should be a nonprofit-based system.
Yeah, we agree on that.
And it's really frustrating for me to know that this has been passed without the people really have a voice on it. And
actually, to be fair, this all went through Congress, and it passed in 2010. People did. It's just that most of us, we're working and we're busy, and we don't have the time to like read what's going on in Congress all the time. But keep going.
Right. But if I'm sure you'd agree that we are represented by congressional individuals, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily voting and doing what we want them to do. We put them in office with faith, and a lot of times they don't make the choices that we would have had them make.
Okay, only because we're running out of show, I just want to ask you one more thing. Are you a single payer guy? Do you support single payer?
Yes, I would rather see a single payer. Okay. It seems a lot more fair. I don't believe that insurance companies should get a windfall from this, and I don't think healthcare should be a profit-oriented industry. I believe that it should be nonprofit. So,
thank you for calling, and call earlier next time, because I'd love to hear from you more in the future. And let's try to go back to the phone lines and just get everybody on the air as quick as we can. We have Lynn on the phone. Lynn, what are you thinking about today?
Hi, thank you for having us. So I wanted to ask the doctor, because I couldn't really tell going on the website in a few minutes since you've been on. Does the co-op have any plans that cover transgender health care?
Yes. Now, when we talk about transgender, we are into an area here that's really complicated, because there are Currently, some limitations under the law about the benefits that can be provided that may be needed, dependent upon the particular transgender procedure or treatment that you're talking about. But
what law?
Yes.
We're talking about the Affordable Care Act, honey.
Yes.
So under the Affordable Care Act has actual limitations?
Well, let me put it this way. In Oregon, the standard plans in Oregon were created under Senate Bill 91. And Senate Bill 91 then provided a template of benefits that every health plan had to follow. It was based on an earlier version of a Pacific Source individual health plan policy. And what the state did was it took that basic template, it modified it a little bit, and then it said, okay, this is the set of benefits, this is the standard structure for benefits in the state of Oregon. And for any health plan that wants to offer insurance as a qualified health plan on the exchange, this is what you have to provide. Now, there is the alternative of building onto that and offering an alternative plan, but every health plan had to offer at least that standard. And under that standard, transgender benefits were not covered. So that's been the basic issue. Now, I said that there is an opportunity for health plans to do something different. You have to offer the standard, but you can offer the standard plus. This is an opportunity for people to say, I want to be heard, I want my voice heard, and to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, if we hear from our membership that they want this set of benefits or that set of benefits that aren't under the standard plan, for example, some of those transgender type benefits that are currently not covered.
Portland is a really important place.
Yes,
for that.
It is. It's a huge deal, I've been with the gay community and talked with them about this extensively, and I understand this issue. That is an area that would be a fertile ground for creation of new and important benefits, innovative plan designs, like we've done with naturopath, like we've done with acupuncture, like we've done with getting rid of a lot of the other gotchas in healthcare. This is an area that we should deal with.
Lynn, we're running out of show.
With all due respect, I think you may be, I'm curious, you're saying you're familiar with it, and under the state insurance ruling in 2011, I don't think it is an optional thing that you can do if you feel like it. I think you're probably required to do it, and I'm pretty disappointed from your answer.
What I'm really talking about here is, yes, there is a law that, and I know the law you're talking about here, but under that law, there are certain types of treatments which can still be, it depends upon an insurance company's criteria, they can be subject to discretionary decision-making by the health plans. And it often, the issue comes down to those discretionary decisions which are not regulated under the law.
We're starting to run out of show.
Yeah, very detailed conversation.
And Lynn, I also, Dr. Prowse said, yes, the Oregon Co-op does offer some of that coverage. So I think that sometimes it's difficult to communicate about these complicated things. Let's try to get one more phone call. People call earlier in the hour, right? And we have Dan on. Dan, really quickly, what's going on with you?
Well, I just recently turned 65 and qualified for Medicare, which I find totally inadequate. And so I'm wondering if I can bypass Medicare and go on some sort of Oregon-oriented health plan and do better.
Okay, thanks for asking. Quick, that's a quick one. What do you think, Dr. Prowse? Actually, Medicare, a lot of people are thinking, is a standard of its own. So I wish you had called earlier in the hour because I'd love to know what some of the more of those issues were. But go ahead, sir.
You can. And there are no age limits under the Affordable Care Act for accessing commercial insurance. Will have to pay a premium that may be considerably higher than what you're currently paying for a Medicare program. So just be aware of that.
Okay. You know, we're running out of show. I really want to give Dr. Proud the talking stick back really quick to talk about what it is about the Oregon Co-op that's different. And this issue of, instead of people saying, no, I don't like it, dig in and get involved. Dr. Proud, talk one more time, just on a thumbnail. What's the most important thing people should know about the Oregon Co-op?
I think the most important thing that you should know is that this is an organization that is all about listening to what people want and making change. It's about innovation. It's not about the traditions of what have happened and what people have had to deal with in the past.
Think
big,
people.
That is the distinctive feature.
Yeah, think big and think about what you need and then make it happen. I'm just putting that out. That's it for our show. Thanks to our guest, Dr. Ralph Prowse.
Thank you, Lisa.
More at ohcoop.org. That's OCOOP. KBOO.org. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Dude, I got locked out of my FB account, so don't try to reach me on Facebook. It's a blessing. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. It's going to be March 4th coming up. You better plan for that. It's going to be on, how do you call that? Mardi Gras this year. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the 24th annual Cascades Festival of African Films. Over 20 African films will be screened between January 31st and March 1st, 2014. Thursdays through Saturdays at Portland Community College, Cascade Campus, and Hollywood Theater. The films celebrate African achievements, expose Africa's failures, and reveal the possibilities for change and a more hopeful future. The majority of films were made by African directors. It shows pictures of Africa through the eyes of Africans rather than a vision of Africa that is packaged primarily for Western viewers. That's the 24th annual Cascade Festival of African Films at the Portland Community College Cascade Campus and Hollywood Theater from January 31st through March 1st, 2014. More information can be found at the right-hand side of KBOO.FM under Community Events.
And you are tuned to KBOO Portland. And it's time for Political Perspectives. Today, Jenka Soderberg interviews Jordana Sardo of the Freedom Socialist Party in Portland about the regional implications of the election of the Socialist City Council member Kashama Sawant in Seattle. At 9:30, independent journalist Jeremy Scahill speaks on Obama's dirty wars. At 10 o'clock, hear Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. And at 10:15, it's Flashpoints. Today, a live report from Bangkok on the growing pro-democracy movement there. We'll go to West Virginia to take a close look at the devastating chemical spill and the corporate flax actively trying to shift blame. Also, 12 years of torture at Gitmo. That's all on Flashpoints at 10:15. At 11 o'clock on the food show, KBOO Food Show, Kara Blandy, the founder of OMA Chocolate, describes her chocolate-making process. Fermentation revivalist Sandor Katz talks about his trip to Indonesia, where he witnessed the indigenous process of making tempeh. And bee expert Jen Davis has an update on pollinators and why they are so important to our food supply. Hey, thanks for listening to KBOO Radio, everybody, and thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. Are you not a member? Well, you can become one very easily by going to kboo.fm on the web and clicking on Donate Today. And we're going to go right to Jenka Soderberg's interview with Jordana Sardo.
We are joined in the studio today by Jordana Sardo with the Freedom Socialist Party in Portland. We're here to talk about Kashama Sawant and the impact of her election in Seattle on the region. Mm-hmm. So Kashama Sawant is openly socialist, now city councilor in Seattle. What do you think is going to be the main impact of that?
Well, I think as people have seen already, it has put the whole idea of socialism more on the front burner, which I think is great. I think that hopefully what we'll see is a using the electoral force to build a community force to enable her and the community to actually move forward with some of the demands that she raised during her campaign. For example, the $15 an hour, you know, minimum wage, that has a lot of opposition. And I think in order for things like that to come to fruition, what we're hoping is that she will hold community meetings to actually get more education and community support to actually build a movement to make that happen. It's really not enough just to have one